Are you looking for expert analysis and the latest news in the promotional products industry?
You must be, because you're listening to the Promo Marketing Podcast.
Welcome, everybody, to the Promo Marketing Podcast. I'm your host, Sean Norris, Editor-in-Chief of Promo Marketing, joined, as always, by Brendan Menapace, Senior Digital Editor. Brendan, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How about you?
I'm hungry now after the conversation we just had with... we talked to Josh Gross and Pedro Perez. They're the co-chief creative officers for Energy BBDO. They're an ad agency based in Chicago. And they're also the brains behind that Avocados from Mexico Super Bowl ad. That we covered in our newsletter, you wrote pretty effusively about.
I did. I loved it.
We both loved it. That was definitely my favorite ad of the Super Bowl, which says a lot when there was a Groundhog Day Bill Murray commercial in there too.
And the new Fast and the Furious trailer for me.
The 4.5 minute long extended trailer.
The regular one, the radio edit.
I did finally watch the extended trailer, by the way. So we can get to
that's a different podcast. That's for our Fast and the Furious podcast.
Like and subscribe to that one too, guys. No, but we just wrapped up talking with them, and we'll get to that conversation in a little bit. We talked to them about the branded merchandise aspect, mostly, of this the fictional Avo Network, which was kind of a QVC-style shopping network that they created for this minute-long Super Bowl ad. And in it, there was all kinds of, we'll say, standard branded merchandise. You had your beach towels and
water bottles
and backpacks, but they also created a whole bunch of just bonkers items.
There was a little tortilla chip floaty. There was the avocados, like a baby holder. There was, a little vacation yurt.
Yeah,
they really went all out.
The velour tracksuit.
The velour tracksuit.
All of these for your avocado, by the way.
And the commercial was like hosted by Molly Ringwald, so there was some star power there.
Right. So there's a lot there. Again, we really loved the commercial and the entire ad campaign that was around it, mainly because it was centered on branded merchandise, and it was cool to see that in the spotlight. I mean, you don't get much bigger of a stage than the Super Bowl when it comes to advertising, so. To make the merchandise kind of front and center there was really cool to see from our perspective covering the industry.
And I got into this a bit in the article I wrote, but as promotional campaigns go, it really ticked all the boxes. You get a product that people want, or at least that I want a lot.
I want
the avocados.
So many avocados all the time.
And then you have an entertaining commercial like with the visual media there, and then to tie it in with a promotional product as a physical product. And then to go even further, the way that you get these products was by retweeting them on Twitter for a chance. That kind of enters you into a contest forum. So basically, you do marketing for Avocados for Mexico with the promise of potentially getting, a water bottle or, the baby carrier or something like that. So from a marketing standpoint, it's pretty genius.
Right, and that kind of multi-channel approach that ties in lots of different elements and, as we'll get into in the interview, creates and builds this bigger story behind it. So it wasn't just a one-shot ad. I mean, you had a whole lot of components there. And again, the branded merchandise was the star of the show. So
totally.
So that was great. But again, we'll get to that in a minute. The one thing I wanted to talk about first was this was something that you had written about. I was actually on vacation, and I just saw it pop up again, and I was going through the list. It was Vistaprint, actually. They posted a study that they did that was at the top 30 logos, right? Top 30 brand logos.
Yeah, most recognizable
logos, right? So I finally had a chance to really look at the list, and I had some, we'll say, observations that I wanted to run by here, because it's a little odd that the first thing, maybe we'll just go through. We'll go through the top 10 here.
Yeah.
So starting from the top, you had Apple, McDonald's, Coca-Cola, Nike. At 5 was Starbucks, then Google, Facebook, Adidas, Amazon, and YouTube rounds out the top 10. And there were 30 of them altogether. Really nothing controversial in that top 10. But here's what I'm wondering. So they didn't really, Vistaprint didn't really post the methodology behind this study anywhere, at least not that I could find. 21 of these 30 logos have the brand name in the logo.
I thought about that too. Like the ones, like looking down this list, it's almost as if like you read a different language, like the ones that don't explicitly spell out. Like I see that, and obviously that's an Apple, but you see the Nike swoosh and your brain says Nike. Like obviously you're reading the word Google, Facebook, Adidas, Amazon. That's different than, you know, seeing the Mercedes-Benz logo and just instantly noticing.
Right.
You know what it is.
So I'm just wondering, you know, how they determined this because of that. I mean, you've got to figure if the logo explicitly says Coca-Cola, that's going to be recognizable 100% of the time, whereas the Apple might be 99% of the time. If there's that one person who's not familiar with Apple,
They'll
know Coca-Cola because they can read the word Coca-Cola there. So again, they didn't really talk about the methodology, unless I missed it, which is certainly possible.
I don't think I saw that either.
But I just thought that was interesting. There was a quiz on the site that you could kind of test your own logo knowledge. Mm-hmm. One of the things that was in there was it showed a section of the logo. So the one I got was Coca-Cola, and it gave me three multiple choice options as to which logo it was.
I feel like they shouldn't give you multiple choice then either. They should be.
Yeah, and other ones there were other questions that were different. So the Red Bull one showed me two variations of the bull and asked me which one was correct.
Oh, that's interesting.
I got it wrong.
I don't know that I'd be able to tell you off the top of my head.
It was basically the bull as it's shown in the standard logo, and mm-hmm. then also the bull, the same bull, but tilted to 45 degrees. And I picked the tilted one.
I don't think
I was wrong. I don't
think really
Red Bull.
I could really question my reality if you showed me that one. I'd be like, well, that looks right.
Yeah.
But
So if you go beyond the top 10, too, then you go, we'll just go through the rest. 11 through 20 is Pepsi, then Mercedes, Disney, Toyota, Ford, Twitter, Instagram, Windows, Nissan, and BMW. At 21, you have Playboy, 22, Visa, then FedEx, Burger King, Honda, then Red Bull. Levi's at 27, then Lego, Marvel, and Ferrari rounds out the top 30. So the other thing that I noticed about this, or one of the notes I made here, was why is Mercedes-Benz so high on there? They're at number 12 on this.
Yeah.
They don't have their name in the logo. I'm not a car guy, but I had to pause for a second when I saw that. I was like, Mr. Mercedes. But there are a lot of other automotive brands in this ranking that place lower, but also have the names in the logo. So,
yeah, I don't know that I would necessarily guess that Nissan would be there, I think. And
Nissan's logo isn't super identifiable based on just the logo.
I think if you took the text out, you'd have some people struggling to remember what that.
I don't think I would.
I don't know that
do
I would. It's very plain as it is. And same with like Honda.
Right. Nissan's logo, if you don't have it in front of you at home, it's basically just a circle with a bar across the middle. It looks kind of like Saturn if it was flattened. And then on the bar is the word Nissan. So if you took that off, I mean, I wouldn't have gotten it. So that was kind of weird. I would just, again, that comes back to the methodology here and, you know, what they count as recognizable, you know, how they got that out of the people. I think it was 2,000 survey respondents here.
Are there any that you are surprised aren't on there?
That's one thing that I was going to get into. I made some notes here, too. So a couple that were missing, right? Target is not on there.
Oh, yeah.
Their logo is literally a Target. And it's a huge store.
Is it the same thing as Apple? Your brain just fills it in automatically.
And also in that same vein, Walmart, which is either the biggest or second biggest retailer in the U.S. based on, you know, what metrics you're using.
Yeah.
Their logo isn't necessarily as identifiable as Target or some of these other ones, but since we're going by word marks, I mean, you see Walmart, you know, it's Walmart.
Oh, yeah.
And that's just, you know, their logo is basically just the word Walmart.
Is there anywhere in the U.S. where Walmart is not?
I don't think so. I think it's just everywhere. I mean, there are some places where Walmart is the only thing.
Yeah, at least, like, there's one probably within 20 miles of any postal code.
So that was kind of weird that wasn't on there. Chick-fil-A wasn't on there.
U.S. Postal Service.
I'm surprised
that's not on there.
Chick-fil-A, third largest restaurant chain in the United States.
Is it really that?
Yeah.
Wow.
As of the most recent rankings that I saw, which I think were 2019. Maybe it was just fast food chains, but either way, pretty big brand.
Surprised Taco Bell's not on there,
too. Taco Bell. I mean, you've got McDonald's and Burger King, I believe. I guess Starbucks, if you count them. They're the only three fast food brands on there. Spotify not on there. Pretty big company. Pretty recognizable logo. At least they make the logo the centerpiece of their you know.
I don't even look at branding. See what other like apps I have that would be that I'm like not even thinking about.
And then you got the while you're doing that, the big video game companies, none of them are on there.
That's true.
Which I just saw a separate study that was conducted based I think it was the top brands with millennials, and I think all three big video game companies were all in the top 10 or 15 of that.
I bet if you do this again within 5 years, you'd have Uber and Lyft on this.
Yeah, for sure. Depending, again, on what methodology you use to come up with this. Because I truly do not know how they got any of these. So that was, you know, that's really all I had there. I was just kind of, you know, that and how Levi's makes it on there at 27 over, say, again, Target or somebody like that.
I'm a little surprised to see Lego, too.
Yeah, Lego. I mean, I love Lego.
I know you
more
do,
than
man.
More than anyone.
Same with Ferraris, because like I guess you know everyone, I think covets Ferraris, but the actual market of people who have Ferraris is relatively small.
Right. The logo is very cool.
It is. Oh yeah. Well, but I mean, Ferraris are very cool.
But I don't know. Again, as not a car person, I don't know if I looked at that, I would have necessarily just been able to tell you it was Ferrari right off the bat. I might have gotten there, but I might also have said Lamborghini. Who knows?
They're kind of, the Lamborghini's, what is he, is a bull?
I think, right?
Car guys, correct us. They don't pay us enough to buy either of these, so.
Yeah, maybe if I had one or the other, I would know, but. I mean, and this comes back to, it all comes back to the fact that you could probably do this same survey in 12 different ways with, to 100 different audience subsets or survey subsets, mm-hmm. and you get different responses every
totally.
Time. But I think for the most part, these are some of, if not the most recognizable logos that are out there.
And it just further validates the way brands are just immersed in our lives and just like we just internalize them so much,
right?
Just from seeing them a lot.
Yeah, I mean, most of these I could. It probably recognize without, other than a couple of the car ones, I think I'd be able to recognize without the word marks there.
Yeah,
too, so.
I'd say most of these I could.
Which is good news for brands and good news for the promo industry. But other than that, I mean, that's all I got there. So why don't we get into this interview now? Like I said up top, it was Josh Gross and Pedro Perez, co-chief creative officers for Energy BBDO. And they joined us for a really fun conversation about the avocados from Mexico Super Bowl ad. So here we go. All right, guys. First off, thanks so much for joining us on the show today. Really appreciate it. Brendan and I are really excited about this episode because this is a topic near and dear to our hearts.
Yeah, I was really excited when I saw this commercial. My first thing was when I saw it, I was like, well, I got to remember to take a note of this so I can talk about it at work.
But why don't you guys go ahead and introduce yourselves real quick for everybody listening?
Yeah, my name's Josh Gross.
My name is Pedro Perez.
And we're the co-chief creative officers at Energy BBDO in Chicago.
Cool. So you guys are a full-service ad agency over there, right? So you guys do a whole bunch of creative and advertising services?
Yeah,
correct.
That's right.
We do a little bit of everything.
Awesome. So the reason we had you guys on today is the Super Bowl ad for avocados from Mexico, which... Brendan loved so much that he wrote about the next day, and we talked about it a lot off air. And this ad, for anybody who isn't familiar with it, it was kind of a QVC style shopping network for avocados, which was an awesome idea. But it involved multiple components for the fictional Avo Network, as it was called. It was a TV ad, the social media, the website, and some branded merchandise. But how did you guys come up with the idea for this, and you know, what was it like pulling the whole thing together? Because there were a lot of components here.
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, obviously at the beginning, I mean, the brief was for, you know, avocados from Mexico's next Super Bowl spot. But you know, how we approach the thinking and how we do ideas here at Energy BBDO, you know, we love big ideas. We love them sort of agnostic of media. But of course, in this case, we had a great starting point, which is, what's our Super Bowl spot going to be? But you know, the world being the way it is today, we've got screens everywhere. We know people are on their phones. You know, digital is a huge opportunity. So, you know, one of the things we were thinking about when we were looking at ideas is, you know, what, how could that idea come to life in wonderful, fun, entertaining ways in all of the different touch points that people are interacting with during the Super Bowl?
And the beautiful thing that we have in front of us is that people already love avocados from Mexico. They do crazy things for them. So we decided to create a platform for them to show the love they have for them. So we created this thing so they could be able to express the in a maximum way the love they have for them.
And I forgot to mention up top, but also Molly Ringwald was in the commercial, which was an inspired move on your part. You know, how did that come about? Whose idea was that, and what was it like, you know, getting her involved?
Yeah, celebrity is always really fun, especially with the folks at Avocados from Mexico, because, you know, in all of their Super Bowl appearances, they always sort of pick a celebrity you know, consumers might not see coming. So, you know, we really look at a lot of different names, and that's sort of part of what plays into it is how do we sort of like surprise and delight Super Bowl viewers. So, you know, we looked at a long list, we looked at lots of different people, and as the list sort of got smaller and smaller, you know, Molly was on it, and we kind of loved, you know, how random and entertaining would it be for her to show up as this sort of, you know, co-presenter of the, you know, QVC style avocados shopping network. And then, you know, once we found out she was interested, we found out she's a, you know, a huge avocado lover. So, you know, it really just continued to make more and more sense and was something we had a lot of fun with.
So what were kind of the results of the campaign when, you know, like we said, we gave it the prestigious honor of our personal favorite Super Bowl ad, but we also saw it named as some of the best Super Bowl ads by a ton of prominent sites. And I saw that, according to Merkle, is ranked as the number two best digital campaign. Can you guys talk a little bit about that?
For sure, yeah. First of all, thank you. We're very grateful to receive that honor. We also appreciate that you recognize that this campaign is more than just a TV spot. I think this is a product of how can, like Joshua mentioned before, how can we have a big idea that could transport and be in different screens and people can interact with that. So that's the beauty of the opportunity. We really appreciate that you guys really like it. I have to say that it's a bit too early to talk about the results. We're still like gathering a lot of data around it. We feel very, very good. It was very interesting when you could see the amount of content that it was that was created in Twitter. You see the interaction. You see how people reacted during the game. How even QVC tweeted about it. It was a nice engagement for the brand, and validates that people actually were, it's like, for them, they didn't know that they wanted to have a shopping network that they could find stuff to buy for their avocados. That was kind of surprising to see their reactions in Twitter. So right now, it's a bit too early to gather and have like what are the specific results. But having a place like you guys, like mentioning that we like that you guys love the ad is an honor for us.
Yeah, and I think as far as we know, all of the amazing items for your avocados are gone. So you know, I think we did something right.
Well, I know that Brendan, when he wrote about it, he said that when he was watching it, basically as soon as the commercial ended, or maybe even during it, he was on his phone looking up the items to see if any of them were real. So it was, you know, you talk about that kind of multiple angles of engagement and you know, reaching people in a different way, and that, than just the TV ad. I mean, that was pretty brilliant on your part. Obviously, we cover primarily the promotional products industry, so we really wanted to get into the branded merch aspect of it. We thought it was really fun and interesting that you had some, let's say, you know, traditional items that people could win on social media, but also all kinds of completely, you know, crazy items that were the stars of the TV ad. So if you had, for example, the miniature green velour tracksuit for your avocado or a mini car seat for your avocado. Why did you guys decide to go this route, and you know, how did you come up with those items? Did you actually give any of those away, or were they just for the show?
Yeah, so, you know, when we first, you know, saw this idea in paragraph form, you know, months and months and months ago, you know, I think we immediately gravitated towards the power of like, okay, you know, if we create this shopping network, if we build it, will the shoppers come? Will people show their avocado love? And when we think about, you know, wrapping that up into a Super Bowl spot, you know, we knew, you know, you've got to push the entertainment value. That's what consumers are sitting there actually tuned in for one night of the year, looking for brands to deliver on. So for us, you know, as soon as we had the nugget of the idea of a home shopping channel for avocado products, we knew we had to really push the entertainment value in terms of the products we were offering. So, yeah, it was really an entertainment driven decision. So we had a lot of fun going through a lot of rounds of crazy different product ideas. You know, it's a shame we couldn't make all of them because there were a lot of fun ones. But yeah,
and they were real. Like they were meant to create the hysteria and the reaction in Twitter, while people were watching the spot, how they wanted to have them and how they tried to get them. It was part of the structure and the platforms that we created.
There was kind of a similar parallel to, you know, kind of how people treat their pets these days. You know, it's not just a pet, it's a member of your family. You know, we're spoiling our dogs and our cats, and it's like there's kind of a similar thing where avocados just have this love and culture. So you know, so we very much, although the products were wacky and wild, we were convinced that there was someone out there who was going to want to get their hands on the product. So it was important for us that they had their opportunity to get their hands on them.
Yeah, there was a logic behind every product that we decided to have showcase, because of the entertainment value, because we know that people could go there and actually love this thing. So we love like the reaction of the audience once we showcase them.
So if you had to choose one of those items, which of the branded merchandise featured on the Avo Network would you say was your favorite? Personally, I was a big fan of the beach blanket, but if we're talking about some of the crazier items you had, I don't see how you could really top the luxury avocado getaway yurt.
Yeah, the yurt was fantastic, and kind of like a beautiful little detail. You know, Pedro mentioned like these products were designed for real. They were made to, you know, for people to get their hands on. So we didn't have time to show it in the spot, but inside of that yurt, there was literally like a tiny little avocado bed and a branded rug. Like it
spares no
really,
expense.
Really beautiful.
Yeah, really.
Yes, we went there. Yes. So it's difficult because like it's almost choosing between one of your kids, which is your favorite.
Right.
Because all of them, for different reasons, I really, really love them. But there's something very interesting about the Avo Carrier.
I love that one.
It's just like, it feels so comfortable.
Yeah, there was also a tiara, right? And it was like $2,800 or something like that. And that ties in with what you mentioned about, you know, the kind of the pet culture and how it's similar, because you see people legitimately putting tiaras on their dogs and things like that. So that ties right in there.
Yeah, and you know, you mentioned the velour tracksuit. I think that was another favorite.
The tracksuit's back, baby, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, it shows up on the website. Again, it's like there were so many beautiful details, and at the end of the day, you've got 30 seconds in terms of the spot, so you've got to sort of pick and choose. But you know, it's bedazzled with the word ripe on the butt of the tracksuit, which is, you know, a fantastic detail. And oddly enough, you know, we were building prototypes of all the different products, and when Molly's stylist saw the tracksuit, she was like, I can make this. I can make it based off what I'm making for Molly. So Molly's stylist actually created that. You know, that's a one
cool.
of a kind piece.
So as of last week, all the items on the Avo Network site were sold out based on what I saw on there when I was browsing. So obviously the merchandise aspect was a pretty big hit. What do you think that says about the power of great brand and merchandise in general, and you know how it kind of all comes together with this campaign in particular?
Yeah, that's very interesting. I think it goes around with the power of a narrative, and when you tie up that to like when you tie that up like brand merge to a bigger narrative of the brand, I think it says a lot, right? This was a limited edition, so it got out very, very quickly. It ran out, so that's good. It proved that it's hard to make enough merch to satisfy the love people have for avocados. But yeah, it was a fantastic point that when people, when we create an object that people get, they love and they wanted to get their hands on it, like people are gonna react very, very quickly.
Yeah, and that's something we talk about all the time here. I mean, like I said, that's you know, the industry that we cover, and it's something that is that we preach, is that it's more than about just the product. It's about that overall, that greater overall story that you can tell with it. And I think you guys really nailed that with this.
Thank you for that.
We're very happy that that narrative across platforms was very effective, and people like you love the spot. That's very, make us very happy.
Yeah, I mean, you don't need to sell us on avocados.
No,
we're already there, but this was just kind of a, you know, that take us to that extra level for us. Is there anything else you guys want to add that we haven't asked you about today? It's okay if there's not. Cool. Well, we really appreciate you guys coming on. This was a blast. I'm so glad we could get this together. Really cool and interesting and timely topic that was something that we kind of were able to put together last minute. So we appreciate that. And hopefully, we'll talk to you guys again this time next year. You never know.
Yeah, that would be awesome. Thank you for your time, guys.
Thanks for having us and letting us talk about our weird, wonderful idea.
Very cool. Josh, Pedro, thanks again.
Take care. Thank you very much, guys.
Bye. All right, that about does it for this episode. If you guys like what you heard, please leave a review on Apple Podcasts or Google Play. And be sure to subscribe on promomarketing.com, Google Play, Apple Play, wherever you get your podcasts.
And if you have any tips or comments, send them our way at @promo_marketing on Twitter.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Until next time, for Brendan Medipace, I'm Sean Norris, and this is the Promo Marketing Podcast.